Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Because the Word of God is applicable through all time, through all civilizations, through all generations. And what Jesus established with his apostles is not what you find in Christianity today. It is entirely different because they have only used part of the scriptures, ignored other parts of the scriptures, have added traditions, have changed laws and days. So how do we prove the credibility of the Bible? Well, first of all, the Bible is the Word of God and is true. And in it, there is no lie. Now, we have seen a prophecy of 2,500 years ago given by the prophet Daniel, where in the last days, knowledge shall be increased. Has that happened? Not only knowledge of the Word of God, but knowledge of all kinds, except in the world, they do not believe the Bible. And yet, that is the most accurate, most important document in the world. Then it also says, many shall go to and fro. Is that happening today? By all means. If that was written 2,500 years ago, which it was, and it's being fulfilled to this very day, which it is, does that not prove that is the truth of the Word of God? I'm going to read to you from Richard Dawkins. Now, Richard Dawkins is one of the leading atheists in the modern world. Here's what he writes. We are all atheists about the gods that other societies have believed in. Some of us go one god further. When you understand why you dismiss all the other gods, you'll understand why I dismiss yours. Now, you see, he is looking at all religions and Christianity of this world for what it actually is. He can see that there are too many lies, too many falsehoods, too many traditions, too many teachings of men that don't agree with the Bible. How far he's checked it out, I couldn't tell you. All religious beliefs seem weird to people not brought up in them. Faith is a great cop-out, the excuse to evade the need to think and to evaluate evidence. Not so. True faith will compel you to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Faith will give you understanding, as we will see in just a minute, that there are scientific things written in the Bible as much as 3,000 years ago that are absolutely true today. Faith is belief in, spite of, even perhaps because of the lack of evidence. No, faith is the spiritual substance of the things not seen. It's not throwing away evidence. It's not in place of evidence. It is part of evidence. It's independence from evidence in its pride and joy. God, no God. All the evidence points to a true Creator God who made everything, and it is proven by scientific facts and evidence and mathematics. So what he says here is absolutely not true. What is true about this statement is evolution, in its independence from evidence, is its pride and joy. See, now the faith that he has as an atheist is greater than the faith that those who believe in the Bible have. Because he believes everything came from nothing. Continuing, he says, I'm against religion because it teaches us to be satisfied with not understanding the world, and I'm very hostile to religion because it is enormously dominant, especially in American life. Well, let's just take a couple of scientific facts stated in the Bible, written 3,000 years ago, and let's stack that up with our knowledge of true facts of the existence of the world. And you will find that the Bible does not contradict true scientific fact. However, please understand, it's impossible for everything to come from nothing. Let's come to the 26th chapter of the book of Job. Let's pick it up here in verse 6, and it talks about God's creation, what he has done. And I want you to notice how up-to-date and absolutely true this statement is. And as we read the scriptures, I want you to understand one fundamental thing. Out of the scriptures come no lie, because the God of truth inspired it, and it is his word, and it is his truth. Verse 6. The grave is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. He stretches out the north over the empty space, and he hung the earth on nothing. That is nothing visible. Today, we understand how God did it. Through magnetism, through gravity, through the power of the sun, the power of Jupiter, the power of the planets, the power of the stars around, all hold the earth in place. So you can take a photo of the earth from the moon, and you can see what? It's hanging on nothing. Same way when you're on the earth looking at the moon. Let's see what else he says about his creation. He binds up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not torn under them. All the rainwater in the clouds. How does it get there? How does it form into rain? Why does it fall? Why does it sometimes not fall? Where did all that water come from? He covers the face of his throne, spreading his cloud upon it. He has prescribed a limit upon the surface of the waters and a boundary between light and darkness. Absolutely true. Every 24 hours, the cycle of night and day has continued. That is also proof of God, because he's sustainer. Verse 11, the pillars of the heavens tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. Okay, also it's called in the Bible. In the Bible, there are bottles of water in heaven. Quite an amazing thing, isn't it, huh? Yes, indeed. Okay, now then, let's come to the book of Genesis. Let's see what happened when there was a flood, because All the atheists say, oh, there wasn't a flood, it couldn't have happened. Well, it might have been one in the Middle East and a valley over there, but it certainly didn't destroy everything. Really? Genesis 7:11. In the 600 year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on this day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. They now know that below the surface of the earth, in the crust of the earth, there's more water than there is in all the oceans. So when God broke up the great deep, and we see that evidenced by mountains that are thrust up, don't we? Yes, indeed. The waters within the earth were broken up and gushed forth in great and vast and destructive quantities. And yes, the flood did cover the whole earth. But not only that. Let's read on. And the windows of heaven were opened. Now, have you ever been in a monsoon? Monsoon is 6 months of rain where it rains and rains and rains and rains and rains and rains. Combine that with the rain of opening the heavens, breaking up the fountains of the deep, and you have a worldwide flood, exactly as it says in the Bible. Now that is scientific proof and evidence. Now, based on that fact, you can base your faith in God on what he has said and what he has done, because it's true. Now, Dawkins, I suppose, thinks that true faith in God is the same as his stupid faith in evolution, because he believes in something that is not as though it were. And he's one of the leading intellectuals of our time. Now, since we're talking about floods, oceans, rain, breaking up the bottles of heaven, breaking up the fountains of the deep, let's come to a psalm, Psalm 8. See, because once you understand about the Bible, and the way you understand the Bible is this. Not everything is written in chronological order. There's some here, there's some there, and you put it all together. So here in Psalm 8, we find quite a wonderful psalm. And actually, this tells us about the purpose of the creation of man. So you need our book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? Because if you don't know why you're here, and you don't know why God created you, and you don't know what you should do to live your life the way you ought to, then you need to come to God. You need to come to the Word of God. And we have all kinds of books, booklets, articles, pamphlets. We will help you understand the Bible. Now here's Psalm 8. Okay, verse 3. You've done this, haven't you? You stood out on a clear, beautiful night and you looked up and you saw all the stars and galaxies, right? Well, David did that. He was out there one night thinking about God, thinking about what God is doing. And he wrote this beautiful psalm. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. Now stop and think about that for just a minute. What work have the great men of the world done that can even be a molecule compared to what God has done? Nothing. Work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained. What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Now, Dawkins doesn't think that God cares for people, but he does. Dawkins thinks that the God of the Old Testament is evil and depraved, which we'll read in just a minute, which he's not. Now notice this next verse. I want you to think on this. I want you to ask yourself the question, do I really know what this means? For you have made him a little lower than God and have crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. See, the whole earth and everything in it, everything that God created, God gave it to mankind as a gift. Now you think on that for just a minute. That is marvelous indeed. Does that sound like a God who's hateful and evil? Or a God who's generous, a God of love? And he's also given free moral agency, so we have to choose. And that free moral agency is never going to be rescinded by God. You have to use it to choose the truth and prove the truth. And that's why you need this booklet. How credible is the Bible that you can see the Word of God is so true that centuries and thousands of years later, he carries out his will. All right, let's read on here. All sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, and all that pass through the paths of the sea. Have you walked through the paths of the sea? That is, these giant Gulf Streams that we have that keeps the water of the whole world moving and circulating and creating and producing and making and developing and controlling the weather, controlling all the things on the earth are based on what's in the ocean. Quite an amazing thing. A little sidebar, for all of those of you who believe in global warming, that it's caused by methane and CO2, there are two things you can do. If you really believe it and think you have power to change and control the weather of the earth. Number one, in Kyrgyzstan, there is a giant hole in the earth, 300 meters across and around. That came about when the Russians were drilling for oil, and they hit the largest gas vein in the world. And when they hit that, all of their drilling equipment fell into the earth, and now this giant hole is there, burning 24/7, continually, putting carbon dioxide and methane gas into the atmosphere. So if you want to control the earth's climate, fix it. Number two, in the depths of the ocean, there are what are called methane chimneys. Methane coming directly from in the innermost part of the earth, and it's constantly putting forth methane gas into the oceans, and that goes up into the air and atmosphere, and we need that methane to live. Now then, if men cannot do that, then that proves God is greater than they are. Now let's come to the book of Ecclesiastes. Book of Ecclesiastes, it has some scientific information in it. And these scientific things and information also tell us that the people back during the days of the writing of the Bible, regardless of what time span you're talking about, they understood certain things. And they knew they were scientific fact. Did you know that they had during Solomon's day, and Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, they had a fleet going out of Tyre and the Mediterranean, going west, going around the world, takes 3 years. And they had a fleet going out of Gulf of Aqaba, which went south and east. And Solomon's empire was, in effect, a world empire. So here's what Solomon wrote in verse 4, chapter 1. One generation passes away, another generation comes. Is that not true? Every generation passes on. And right now, we're in the middle of a generational change of a magnitude that is going to prove itself to be very overwhelming. But the earth remains forever. The sun also rises, the sun goes down, hurries to the place where it rose, the wind goes toward the south, and it turns around toward the north. It circles around continually, and the wind returns to its circuits. You ever heard of jet streams? They understood all of this.
You don't notice it and you can't see it, but every day there's a river of air about 5 to 7 miles above us that zooms by overhead. This current of air, called the jet stream, travels around 110 miles per hour across the globe. And why should you care about it?
It essentially moves weather systems around the world.
Jet streams form where air masses of different temperatures meet in the atmosphere. The greater the difference in temperature, the faster the jet stream moves. Faster winds push weather systems around, bringing storms to some areas and fair weather to others.
The jet stream has what are called long waves or long dips in the jet stream. Within that big long wave, as we sometimes refer to it, are smaller disturbances, little ripples that we call short waves. And those are the ones that produce our day-to-day weather.
In the winter, the polar jet stream dips south across the lower third of the U.S., bringing in colder air and sometimes strong storms.
So these things prove the Bible to be true and credible above all things. Now then, challenge to the atheist and evolutionist. Produce one factual, known evidence of things generating life from nothing. And if you cannot, then it proves your belief in evolution is stupid. And all the things you claim you're so intelligently adept to, worthless. Because everything you examine, everything you think you measure that proves evolution, God made it all. Every single bit of it. Every little molecule and atom of everything that there is in the world. Verse 7, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers come, there they return again. Now, how did they know that? Except they understood the climate. See? So you take men like Richard Dawkins, who's a leading atheist and of the intelligentsia of the world. I'm going to finish reading some things here that he wrote. He says, scientific beliefs are supported by evidence. That is true if it is measurable. Evolution is not. They have no intermediate missing links. And they get results. Myths and fables are not and do not. That is true of the religions of this world. But that is not true of what is in the Bible and the Creator God and Jesus Christ at His right hand who did the creating. Faith is capable of driving people to such dangerous folly. Yes, false faith, radical faith, satanic faith. That faith seems to me to qualify as kind of a mental illness. Now, that's a good analysis if you're just looking at the religions of the world. And I don't buy the argument that, well, I think it is harmful, partly because I care passionately about what is true. He says, I care passionately about what's true. Why then does he reject creation? Because that is the truth. Now notice how most people view the God of the Old Testament, but that is not true. The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction, jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser, a misogynist, a homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, felicital, megamaniacal, sodomasochist, capriciously malevolent bully. Now that's how he views God. Now, wonder what would happen if God would come and say, Richard, what did you say about me? So you see how the intelligentsia of this world actually make completely stupid, unknowledgeable accusations against God, and they do not have the spine, the backbone, the mental tenacity, or the intellectual curiosity of real truth to prove that God exists and his word exists. Now, we send these three out all together. How credible is the Bible? God or no God? And we send that with the booklet, Geology, Catastrophism, and Scripture. These booklets read on CD, which come with it, all of this is free to you. Do you want to know God? Do you want to prove God? We'll help you find it. Because the truth, in this case, will truly set you free and not be entangled with all of the hatred and vitriol of those like Richard Dawkins. Be sure and visit our website, truthofgod.org, and also our Bible website, afaithfulversion.org. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.